This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. Listen, Ben and I have been working on scheduling this a couple of different times, but we've been talking about it, I want to say, for like a year or so. So I'm super happy that we were able to pull this together and record this fun podcast for y'all today. But before we dig in, let me pause and thank our podcast sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by ShopBoss, shop management software that works the way you need it to right out of the box. Declined repairs don't have to be lost revenue. AppField's call center schedules follow-up calls and equips your team with everything they need to close the deal. Get started now at appfueled.com.
All right. Now, Brian's not here, so you're getting me today, Kim Walker, and my guest is Ben Tilson with Tilson's Auto Repair. Here's the thing how I came to know Ben. I think maybe, if I'm recalling correctly, you first spoke with JR, and JR told me, Kim, you're going to love this guy. He wrote a children's book. And given my history of being an elementary school teacher and a school counselor, he knew that this was going to be something fun and exciting to me. And so for those who are watching on YouTube, I'm holding up the first children's book because there are now two. And now Ben is holding up number two. So we're going to talk about where this idea came from. We're going to talk about the process. We're going to talk about just all the things that I can think of. But in my research of Ben and Tilson's Auto Repair, I added to my list of curiosities. So we're going to first just start out by welcoming Ben. I'm really happy to have you today. Let's just start with, tell us about Tilson's, because are you a second generation? Because on your website, I saw maybe your dad or uncle or so. Tell us about Tilson's.
Yeah, so second generation ownership. I'm partners with my brother currently. We run the day-to-day operation. My father started the business in 1983. We've been in business over 40 years here in Rochester, Minnesota. Been doing this a long time. In 2015, we built a state-of-the-art facility here in Rochester, built from the ground up. Yeah, it's been great ever since. And that's kind of when I got involved and me and Joe really took over the operations of the business. So this is our fourth location here in Rochester. Yeah, we have nothing but growth in our sights from this point on.
I don't think I realized that you had four shops either.
We only have one location. We've just gone to four different locations.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
We just keep getting bigger every time.
All right. That makes sense. You're in your fourth location. And Joe is your brother. How far apart are y'all? Like, how old?
Joe and I are just under 2 years apart. So we're really close in age. I always joke that, you know, he's a little more like my mom. I'm more like my dad. And, you know, they've been married, you know, 40 plus years. So if that works, you know, this works.
You know, Brian and I owned the shop together and still to this day. So we're approaching our 26th wedding anniversary. And just last week, somebody said, you know, after understanding that we've worked together most of those years, this lady was like, I just don't. And we hear this all the time. I don't think I can just be with my husband that much of the day. Like, I'm happy with the evenings and the weekends. And I'm like, well, we've been doing this for 23 years. So I guess it's maybe not all that different doing it with your sibling. I cannot. That I know for sure. There's no way that I could do this with my brother. He would drive me out of my mind. But I imagine you guys, you know, given that your dad opened the shop, y'all just kind of grew up with it.
Yeah. You know, Joe and I have a really unique relationship and we get asked all the time, you know, how do you work with your brother? How do you guys do that? And realities are, Joe and I just have a really good knack about accepting our positions in the business. And we have a lot of respect for each other's positions. And when there's more of an office clerical decision, like with accounting or financial stuff like that, Joe trusts me with that decision because that's what I do. But if there's a change in like a policy or procedure up front with the service team and the technicians, well, that's Joe's wheelhouse. So I think a lot of it is just having mutual respect for each other and what each other is good at, because you know, his strengths are my weaknesses. My strengths are his weaknesses in some ways. So our relationship's really unique. But, you know, what's the kicker with everything? Joe and I have a really good ability when we're outside of the shop. It's no more shop. It's just we're brothers. That's a uniqueness about us. So we don't take things we say to each other in the business very personal. We understand. Trust me, we have our fair share of disagreements, but at the end of the day, we have a strong relationship in the sense that we could shut it off. You know, 5:30 comes around, we're brothers, and that comes first, and family always comes first. And I would never want to be in the business if I felt like, you know, our family was going to separate or we weren't going to be supportive of each other. So I think Joe and I share a really strong bond in that way, and we share a similar viewpoint in that way as well too.
What you just described is a dream, honestly, because I mean, I know a lot of shops who are run by siblings or married couples, and it takes a very long time to figure that stuff out. And I mean, I know you guys have been in business for a long time, but do you have any other siblings, or is it just the two of you?
Yeah, we got two sisters, neither of which were really in the business at all. The one worked in the business a little bit while she was between jobs, but she's off doing very well for herself now. And the other one, she's living up in the cities, I guess Minneapolis, St. Paul area. She's living her best life. So it's always been pretty much me and Joe the past pretty much 10 years. It's been me and Joe. Joe's been in the business longer than I have. He joined in 2010. So he's been in the business about 15 years. I went to college. I went to Bemidji State University, actually with no vision to ever come back to the auto industry. And things happen, life happens. And I really fell in love with the entrepreneurial aspect. I hated having multiple bosses. And I realized after working for them, then working for my dad, how different a boss that was. But once I proved, and my brother and I proved to my dad that we know what we're doing and we don't need him in the business as much anymore, he's been able to step away and start really living a good life. I mean, he's, you know, 67 years old. He's worked in this industry his whole life. And anyone who knows who's been a technician their whole life, this industry gets hard on your body. It gets hard on you mentally. And running a business on top of that, it's just really hard to do. And I really love the fact that my dad can finally go enjoy himself. He's got a lake cabin up north. He's got his fishing boat. He's got every toy he's ever wanted. So it's a really nice dynamic we got going on here. Yeah, and you talked about some of the unique marketing. So one of the things he does now, he comes back once a year, dresses up like Santa Claus, and he waves to people off Broadway, which is one of Rochester's busiest streets. So that's his contribution to the business at this point.
A legend, huh?
Yeah, you can say that.
That's awesome. And what a blessing that y'all are able to give your dad that, you know, after years of hard work, he can go and enjoy and do those things, and still for him to have that connection to come back. I love that story. We're going to talk more about the whole Santa thing. I did take note of that and do want to talk about it. But let's start off first things first with the thing that first drew me to Tilson's, and that is the children's book. So I'm going to talk a little bit about it, and then I want you to just unpack for the listeners. One, where'd the idea come from? What was the process like of writing it and getting it, you know, printed, published, whatever? What are you doing with it? How are you using it? All that kind of stuff. So the title of the book says Technician Colton's 10 Steps to an Oil Change. And it's your branding on the front of the book. And it is just, and on the back, I forgot about that. So it's just brilliant to me, but I love just the simplicity of it. It is not complicated. The graphics are very sharp and appealing, I would imagine, to kids. I still get asked to go back and read books to children. And you should know, Ben, that way down south from you, all the way in Louisiana, I've actually shared this book with some teachers to say, you know, because a lot of, I want to say first or maybe second grade. Because I would say this book is written to younger, it's early education. And so I've told some teachers, hey, when you get to your section in your curriculum where you're talking about community helpers, I'm happy to come and read this book. So I need to remind them as we're entering the next school year, because nobody's asked me to yet. Generally, it's part of some other big theme, you know, come read a Christmas story or something like that. But I have a mission to spread your book, but we're going to come back to why I want to do that. And we're going to talk about that after, but your turn, like, just tell us all about this book. Where'd it come from? Anything you want to share about it?
Sure. You know, a lot of it starts with me. So I grew up, I struggle really badly with dyslexia. I'm visually and auditory dyslexic. So kind of growing up like that, you know, I always struggled with reading and writing. And as I've progressed in life, I've always found the things that I enjoy the most is the things that challenge me the most. And growing up, when I got put on the spot to read, I just felt embarrassed and not intelligent. So I don't know, for me, it was just a lot of just trying to prove that dyslexia is not a hindrance. It's a superpower at the end of the day. It makes you think three-dimensionally. You know, my dad, he was a great automotive technician, and my dad struggled with dyslexia as well, too. And I think what allowed him to be a very good technician was his dyslexia and, you know, his ability to think, to simplify. And I think a lot of dyslexia is that. And that's when I kind of realized I was never going to write a novel. And I was like, why not a children's book? And what kind of inspired me to do this, and I've been thinking about doing it because I've always been a storyteller my whole life. I could tell a story about anything, you know. You know, the fish was this big, you know, by the end of the story, you know, it was this big, you know. So I always was a storyteller like that. And I could always come up with weird stuff like that. But I was actually at a couple different libraries with my kids. And, you know, I just really couldn't find any books on really a lot of real life stuff. Like, I couldn't find any books about cars. I hardly could find any about construction or any sort of trade or even any professional in general. Like, you know, there's so many jobs out there. And I would think, gosh, the library should be littered with like, hey, grow up, be a superhero. You know, being a mechanic is a great thing. It's you save lives every day because you're fixing cars that transport you to one spot to another and without a safe vehicle. And having someone reliable to work on that, I think that's something to be admired, right? And that was a lot of the inspiration behind starting the book. So with Technician Colton, that was my first book. So Colton is my brother's oldest child. And I themed all my books so far on my kid, on our kids. So Olivia's ABCs to a Car, that is my oldest daughter. And being that Joe and I are having... both having kids here probably in the next week. So there's going to be four more books. And that's my goal. And so each kid out of me and Joe's family will have a book. You know, it should be a whole series of books. And that's my goal. And my goal is to kind of just have it turn it into like a little library. I am not currently charging for the books. I've got to figure out how to get it set up for I can ship them and maybe just charge people for shipping or something like that. Because I think education should be very accessible. And I want people to have this book because I think it's unique and it's out there. And I really encourage other shop owners and other trades to, you know, get into this because we all complain about the same things. Oh, there's no one getting into the industry. There's no one getting into the industry. Well, because there's nothing out there to get them excited about the industry. I think a fun way, and I was actually found out there's a shop, I forget where, it was a Living the Dream Auto Care. He wrote a book a long time ago. He gives them out to his customers. So it was funny when I came out with the idea, I thought I was being super original. And then my coach through Elite Worldwide, he goes, hey, I know a guy who wrote a book. He's a good colleague of mine. And I used to, you know, coach with him a little bit. And yeah, he's Living the Dream Auto Care. He actually wrote a book a long time ago called Mommy, My Car is Sick. And I was like, that is so unique. I was like, and I was kind of actually upset because I thought I was being original. And I was like, how many shops have a book? But I've only been able to find one. So
that's what I was about to say. Not many. You can still claim.
I figured I could be the first one to have two.
There you go. And what, ultimately four or six? You said four more. So six total.
The goal would be to have six books.
Mm-hmm. Unless y'all have more kids.
Unless we have more kids.
More kids, more books.
That's kind of the trend I'm going down. So in each book, we'll have a different theme, a different topic about cars. So obviously, you know, actually it was kind of my mom's idea for the ABCs. And I thought that was a really fun idea because letter association is such a big thing. So yeah, it was kind of fun to kind of go down that road. And It was actually a little more challenging than I thought, because there's not a lot of components that start with like Q and, you know, P and, you know, where it's like you're going to complicate it more than it needs to be. Or that was kind of fun. Like, there's not a lot of parts that start with X and Z. So I was kind of able to ad lib a little bit and kind of just have some fun with the book. But what I, the approach I took with Technician Colton, one of my biggest passions is I love doing like shop tours. I like doing job shadows with the students at our local community college. I partner with some high schools and I try to bring students in periodically just to give them a tour. So the whole premise behind Technician Colton, 10 steps to an oil change. So this is what the front of our building looks like, pretty much in detail. And if you were to go to the first page, that is literally what our lobby looks like. So everything in this book is an exact detailed replica what it would be like to go on a shop tour at Tilson's Auto Repair. Everything to the car in the bay, to looking out, seeing the fence behind it. Everything was done by pictures, and my illustrator, Allie Robertson, did a fantastic job just bringing everything to life. Because if I did the illustration, I'll be stick figures and probably no one would want to read it. But she did a fantastic job. I sent her a bunch of photos and she just nailed it. Like, it was just perfect. Like, everything to the T. She even added things in the background that I didn't expect her to add. She like duplicated where if you were to look at that hoist, look at the book, you'd be like, it's a splitting image. I mean, it was so cool.
ShopBoss is software built by shop owners for shop owners. ShopBoss offers real solutions backed by real experience. Simply put, it's shop management software that works your way. When customers are in the lobby and cars are on the lift, you don't have time for a learning curve. That's where ShopBoss comes in, with profit-boosting features that work the way you need them to, right out of the box. From built-in DVI to robust, customizable reporting, ShopBoss makes everything about running a shop work more smoothly. Plus, with their Boss Pay Payments feature, powered by 360 Payments, you can enter the era of totally paperless payments. From text to pay, remote payments, and consumer financing options, to compliance, surcharging, and now even offering PayPal and Venmo options. Everything is built right into ShopBoss. Plus, everything is backed by a fantastic support team with one goal in mind, your success. Be the boss with ShopBoss. Independent auto repair shops, get ready to transform your business with AppFueled. It's time for your professional auto service shop to have its own customer loyalty app. AppFueled will build an app that launches a custom loyalty program for your shop in 30 days or less, fully integrated with your point of sale system. Bring Fortune 500 level customer retention strategies to your business without the Fortune 500 budget. Many shops are enjoying the benefits. Our app engages your customers with a loyalty ladder, enticing them to climb the next rung, coming back more often and spending more each visit, all with your own app. Build loyalty with your customers, to your brand, and boost your shop's growth. Get your first app in 30 days or less, all without breaking the bank. Ready to start? Let AppFueled take your business to the next level. Go to appfueled.com or meet founder Jeremy Glasgow and book your complimentary app vision session at appfueled.com/Jeremy. That's appfueled.com/Jeremy.
How did you find her? Is she local to you? Did you already know her?
Well, funny enough, I posted on Facebook and I would just ask my general feed. I'm working on an idea. I'm thinking about doing a children's book. And she got tagged along with a couple other people. And she just seemed to, I don't know, the connection just seemed right. She just seemed super passionate. She just seemed like she was gung-ho, let's do this, let's get into this, let's have some fun. I just liked her energy, so I went with her, and I definitely don't regret one second of that. She did a great job with the first one. She did really well with the second one. So I hope she continues working with me. We're able to kind of keep a similar theme throughout all the books. So finding that connection was really a positive, because I thought she just did a really great job bringing the book to life.
I love the whole story. I'm just kind of fascinated by the entire thing. And I'm curious, though, one, the printing part of it. So first, I want to share with you, Brian wrote a book, The Ultimate Guide to Auto Repair Marketing. You think I would just kind of have the title in my head like that. But I'll connect him with you because We have it on. So, I mean, I'll use this opportunity. If you go to shopmarketingpros.com/book, you'll see, and you could do the same thing, Ben, with yours, is we have it available. I think it's free. If you enter your email address, you get a PDF of the book, so an ebook. And then we do have it on Amazon. So Brian can help you figure out how to get it on Amazon. Originally, I think they could order it from us and we would do the whole shipping and all of that. And he worked with the post office on the media. You know, it's a cheaper rate when you send it as media. But now everything just goes through Amazon and it's very simple. So I'll definitely connect y'all so you can talk about it. But just like, so you're not going through like a publishing house, like you're just printing it yourself. Like, what's that look like?
So I'm self-publishing through Digipod. So they are an online publisher. They've been really great to work with. I totally recommend them for, you know, projects like mine. Obviously, they're not like Amazon where I can sell it through them. It's just a printing platform. And they've been really great to work with. And they've done a really good job with just getting the book published in a timely manner. But that's what I'm currently doing. And I actually got that from the other gentleman. I actually ended up reaching out to Living the Dream Auto Care, and the guy who wrote that book. And he kind of walked me through what he did. So I kind of duplicated that. I was like, that's interesting, because I wasn't sure how I was going to get this published. And Digipod definitely made that pretty seamless process.
Now, what are you doing with it now? Like, who gets it? Where are you giving it out? What's the response from your community?
Yeah, I mean, so far it's been great. I mean, right now I'm just giving them out for free. You know, people that stop in the business, customers specifically, I'm just handing them out. I donate them a lot to nonprofits and stuff like that. I have, like, there's many libraries all throughout Rochester, neighborhood libraries, and I'll put some in there over time.
Are you talking about the little things? Like, we have these all over here where just at the entrance to a neighborhood, someone built like a little library, like a wooden, almost like a mailbox, but it's a little, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, we have them all throughout Rochester. I mean, maybe not like right at the entrance, but they're throughout the whole neighborhood. So like, yeah, you just got to kind of cover ground. I think there's a map somewhere. I think I access where you can find them all. But there's so many of them. You just drive around, you'll just come across them. And yeah, and so what I do, I'll stick a couple copies in each one I find, and hopefully they circulate over time. I don't know who grabs them, but a lot of it is just, you know, giving it back to nonprofits and just handing them out to kids as I see them. And I would like to get into more schools and get in front of more kids. Obviously, that would be fantastic. And I am trying to work on a kid's day to kick off my second book. So I'd like to invite some kids down to the shop, read my book, give them a shop tour, you know, partner up with some of my fleets and vendors and have some of their trucks here, kind of create events here at the shop to get more kids maybe engaged with the auto repair shop and itself. So I think that's a great way, a great stepping stone. We can get youth and everyone more involved with our industry. It's just coming up with fun, unique ways. And like I said, I thought the book idea was really great. And, you know, people was like, well, what are you trying to gain out of these books? I was like, well, hey, well, listen here. I mean, at the end of the day, who reads the books? Mom and dad. And it's a family thing. I mean, I've never had my daughter just pick up a book. And yeah, she'll look at it, but she always brings it to me to read it, right? The kids, it's education for mom and dad, because there's a lot of things that people don't know about cars. Sometimes, like, I know things can get very complicated when they talk cars, especially with a car enthusiast. They try to just go into too much depth, and I've been even victim of that. When I talked to one of my technicians, he's talked to me. He's about, I have no idea what you're talking about. Sounds good, but I don't know what you're talking about. So this is actually a fun way to kind of educate the general populace too. And then you're creating a family fun activity. And, you know, we're a family oriented shop at the end of the day. And that's really what I want to portray to my community as well too.
Well, I mean, I definitely think that you are doing that. And just listening to you talk about that family connection piece, it brings me back to this guy would do exactly what you just said. Bring me a book and mommy, will you read this? And we had our ritual every night before bed of cuddling up and reading a book together. And the first thing that captured me about this, when you brought it to me at one of the conferences, you met up with me at our booth and handed me the book, or you didn't mail that to me.
No, I handed it to you. Yep.
And I remember reading through it thinking, this is brilliant for connecting with future auto repair members of our industry, right? Whether it's recruiting at a young age of technician or service advisor, or whatever it might be, and just planting that seed, and then the shop tour like you're talking about. I know during COVID, some shop, and I can't remember who it was, I'm sure I have it written down somewhere, they offered virtual field trips during COVID to, you know, teachers were now having to teach on Zoom, right? And this shop said, and he ended up doing multiple. And you think about during COVID, these kids were sitting at their computers at home. Who was standing over them? It's like you're saying, like, who's reading the book? And so just all these different unique ways to connect to the future generation of shop owners, shop technicians, service advisors, whatever it might be. And so many, coming from an education background, school counselor, so many of our young people who are, just like you just said, dyslexic or ADHD or whatever it might be, that I don't know if this was you, I'm just speaking from experience. Very often, I would say, those kids were labeled as the bad kid, the unruly, boisterous, or whatever it might be. And they were in trouble all the time. And it was because they now they're in this world where they're working with their hands. They needed something more tactical, something more kinesthetic, something in their hands. And so I think that they get pushed to the side, and there was this whole huge push for college, 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 college. Don't be a mechanic. Don't be a plumber. Don't be an HVAC. Don't be an electrician. And then, of course, here we are now where the tables are turning. We're lacking in all of those blue collar worker hands, busy, those types of trades that now I see a flip. The tables are turning where now schools are like, well, I just heard yesterday, I was at our Crime Stoppers luncheon and I heard them talking about the school system. And the guy that was speaking used the words, it was almost like our school system has a new slogan, and it's about, instead of teaching kids so that they move on to college, it was, we're training up children to live the American dream. That's what he said. And I was like, whoa, that's an entirely different mind shift and perspective. So that was the thing for your, one of the things about your book was I was like, it's just an incredible way to connect with the kids. So I love that you've done that now. And then just hearing that you're with the new kiddos coming, that there's a plan for one for each kid. Just what a legacy that you're leaving for them. Brian and I were just on a vacation in the British Virgin Islands. So my nickname is Kimmy. And we walked into this little, you know, little, I don't know, souvenir shop, little gift shop. And it was booked just like yours, except it was beach focused. But what I mean by just like yours, like about the same size, shape, length, it was very clearly written by a lady in the community. And the art was by probably a local as well. But it said Kimmy's Day at the Beach. And then it was Kimmy collects seashells at the beach. Like there were three or four different ones. It brought me back to your book because it was just so similar. And I asked the lady at the counter and she said it actually was not done by a local. This was done by someone in Florida. They were selling it in the British Virgin Islands, but it was still kind of the same story. This lady was just trying to help educate people because one of her books was all about sea turtles and wildlife and stuff. But anyways, for sharing all of that, I know you're not selling it. You're giving it out to people. I didn't see it on your website. Is it on your website?
No, I got to do a better job. I mean, now that I got a second book, I'm trying to figure out more ways to make it more accessible to people, at least for I can ship it to people who really want this book. I know I need to do a better job with that. I really need to get focused on that because I do want this book. And, you know, honestly, I can't believe, like, you must have shared it with someone at a conference or something. But it's been really weird because I'll just get random, like, messages from people. It's like, hey, man, I saw your book. That's really cool. Or, like, even when I was at that conference, I couldn't believe how many people came up and was asking about it. I think they even talked about my book in, like, the extra of the conference itself. And I was like, that's just really cool to hear that. You know, what really makes it all worthwhile is when I hear a parent or a customer come and say, oh, my kid won't get in the car without your book, you know. And that right there at the end of the day is what makes doing this so worth it. And that's why I would like to get this book out to my books out to more people because I've been able to have a lot of fun with them. And I think a lot of kids could benefit from these books. And I think a lot of families might benefit from these books. I mean, you know, I know they're, you know, sitting around Tilson's Otter Pair. I mean, I got my name written all over them in some ways, but you know, for a kid down in Arizona, it could just be a fictional type place too, you know, who knows? So I think I shouldn't close my doors to, you know, getting this book down to other states. And I've tried to make it as localized as possible, but I know I need to do a better job getting these accessible because I've been getting asked quite a bit, how do I get them? How do I get them? How do I get them? So
I think that I might even, generally I get permission, maybe I didn't. I think I even have a slide up in one of my classes with your book on it. But at that conference that where you walked up and handed it to me, at our booth, I brought it with me to my class and put it out there. So for sure. The thing is, you're bringing that local focus and it's making an impact in your local community. When you send it out, you're now impacting the industry. And so that broader thinking, and it's easier than you think. It may seem like a big, huge project, but I'm going to connect Brian with you and y'all can talk about.
Yeah. And to add to that, just last week, a colleague of mine, someone who sits on the RCTC, our community board with me for the automotive program here in Rochester, he has a shop outside of town, but he actually read my books to a group of kids out in his community. So I was like, well, maybe I'm overthinking that because he didn't really care whose name was on it. He just thinks the books are really cool. And he looked past like the name is like, no, it's the education side of the book that's really unique about it. So that meant a lot to me. And that kind of feedback really encouraged me. And I have a joke that, you know, I want to have Tilson's mini library. So like, as long as you're local, you can just come in and grab a book.
That's awesome. That's a great vision. That's a great dream to have. And I don't think it's as far out there as you might think. So let's spend just a few more minutes because we have really talked a lot about your book, which was the purpose. But I just learned so much more about your shop and your history. And it really brought me back to when Brian and I had our shop, how connected we were to our community. And I now have a class that I teach about hosting events at your shop. And I tell people, I essentially turned our shop into an event venue. And it seems like you've kind of done the same thing. So I'm just going to toss out a couple of them that I know about. And I want you to just talk more about your community focus and your these events that you've done. Things like the dance party. Y'all co-hosted a dance party at your shop. You hosted your Rotary Club meeting at your shop. And then I don't think this was an event per se, but going back to what you were talking about with your dad, there's this Santa photo op that I saw where you, I don't know that your dad was in there, but it was just like Santa and his sleigh. And there was a post that said, stop and take a photo. Like, just tell us more about these events and photo ops and things that you're doing in your community.
So, yeah. So a lot of my kickoff events, I do them. So we've been doing Tilson's Gives Back, which is a community centric event. Rochester is centered around the Mayo Clinic, which is one of the greatest healthcare facilities to ever exist. So we're very fortunate in our community, but that drives a lot of like nonprofits to be in our community. And there's tons of them. And, you know, when I first got back into Rochester out of college and I got into the business, gosh, we were getting hit up all the time by all these great nonprofits. And, you know, as a small business, we don't have a lot to give sometimes, right? And, you know, when you own a small shop, you just don't have, you know, thousands of dollars to donate. So I came up with a variety of different events, and you've only scratch the surface of some of the stuff I've done. Like when I first got in Rochester, I started a handful of events. I got involved with the Chamber of Commerce. I got involved. I started a volunteer mentorship program. I got super involved with, I even created my own event for nonprofits to make it more affordable for, you know, 23 to 26 year olds to give back. It was called Donate to Drink. It was an incentive-based fundraiser to gather essential items for a local nonprofit. So what I would do, I would raise money, and all you had to do is donate a wish list item off a nonprofit's wish list, and you could get a drink at a local brewery or bar. It was really unique, and we raised, gosh, probably close to $15,000 worth of items across, like, I think there's 8 events. They were super successful, and I did those pretty much up until COVID hit. When COVID hit, I had to focus more on the business. But like kind of right before COVID, we started doing Tilson Gives Back, which was a way for us to support all these local nonprofits that Rochester has. And there's so many great ones out there. And we've been doing it for almost 6 years now, and we've donated back over $10,000 to local charities just through Tilson's Auto Repair. One of the things we like to do the most is we started doing these kickoffs to the Tilson Gives Back Month, which our last one was for USA Dance. And they host volunteer dance lessons. And I was like, well, why don't you host one at Tilson's Auto Repair? We can dance our way through the shop and do a shop tour. And that kind of just sparked. And because I did one before for an animal nonprofit, and she brought her cats and dogs, and it was really cool. We had a bunch of people show up, and, you know, I was like, you know, I could easily organize something like this once a quarter. So my next nonprofit I'm going to be supporting to kick off for that one, I thought I would do like a kids day here at the shop. And it was right in time because I just came out with my second children's book. I thought this is a great idea. I've been thinking about doing this for a long time. And I've just learned you just got to go do it. If you want to do it, just do it. And if you don't get the turnout, well, you learn from it. Take notes and do better next time. And each time it seems like you do it, you just get more and more turnout because people start expecting it, right? If they know you're a shop that's going to bring people to it, educate people, that's my whole goal with that. And so, but the Santa thing, that was actually my dad's idea. He had actually been wanting to do that. So that is my dad in the photo. And we started doing that last year, was our second year. So the year before that, my dad was just out there, and we got such great feedback from the community, and people were loving it. We were getting tagged in all kind of Facebook posts, news media outlets. Everyone was just eating it up. And then last year I decided to dress up like, you know, I called myself Benji the Elf, but you know, I had the Buddy the Elf costume on. We bought some reindeer. My dad got a sleigh, and each year it's kind of gotten to be more and more fun. It's actually inspired me for another book, but we won't get into that quite yet. We'll wait till that one comes out. But just creating themes at the shop that are a lot of fun, and a lot of them is just centering around our passion for the community and giving back to it. And it's guerrilla marketing at the end of the day. It's unique. It's different. That I see so many generic, you know, posters, signs, and ads, and it's like it's all the same stuff. And you know, at the end of the day, I hate to say it, $10 off a $2,000 repair ain't very much money. And I know it's perceived value, but I am just looking for different ways to build value and trust and value in creating that, you know, family environment that, you know, hey, you're coming to me because you want to come to me, not because I'm going to give you $10 off. Now, granted, there's always room for that kind of advertisement or whatever it may be. And that's never going to go away. And I do that stuff, but I think trust is the biggest factor you got to build in this industry. And I think by doing unique events, and I've heard about it, I've even listened to some of your podcasts in the past talking about that kind of stuff. And, you know, having those events at the shop, getting unique, I think I was hearing stories about how someone partnered with like a local Burger King, and for every burger they sold, you know, get $10 off an oil change or something. It was, you know, just out there kind of marketing that you don't think about. So that's kind of what we've been challenging ourselves to do. And I find with that type of marketing, it's more time than it is money. And I think a lot of people fear, I don't have time for that. It's like, well, we do have time for it. We're just not making the time for it.
Yeah, you're answering my next question, which was, what do you say to those shops who are like, I don't have time for that, or they're afraid to do some of these other types of marketing ideas and that sort of thing? But yeah, we're all given the same number of minutes and hours in a day. It's just what we choose to do with them, right?
Yeah, I think we all get, it's intimidating, you know, you get start hitting up by radio companies, digital marketing ads, man, it starts adding up to be a lot of money. You know, the biggest fear is, am I going to get a return on my investment? Am I going to get a return? And I'm going to tell you what, I've gotten more return on my time than I have on my money. And we're like any other shop. We've had slow times. And the more I feel like I engage and get out in the community, and it's just like, you know, I go to my morning networking event, and after that, I stop at five different businesses. It doesn't even have to be fleets. Just stop in at five different businesses, shake their hand, bring them some donuts, maybe a couple coupons. I get a quicker return on that than I would doing 500 mailers, where I may not get a return for 6 months, right? I've just gotten so much quicker turnaround, just going in, shaking hands, and it takes time, obviously, but you just do it. I've learned to just try to do it more strategically, and it works really well, and you definitely get your fastest turnaround. I could probably do even a better job than what I'm doing, but you know, my next mission is to start bringing people to the shop, to the shop, to the shop, because that's where that trust builds, right? When you can bring them into the back, you can show them the hoist, you can show them your tooling. You could show them all the little things they're not seeing you're doing. The car is like those little grommet clips you put in, the washer fluid you add, all the fluids you tap off during an inspection, and all those little things that they just flat out don't see you do. And they just see that little supply charge on the bottom. It's like, well, this is why. Like, look at all this inventory I have to replace the washer on your drain plug every time you do an oil change for you don't have a leaky drain plug. People don't realize how much inventory shops just have sitting in their shop and how much little things we do. And without bringing them into the back room and showing them and educating them on what all this stuff does, and even the tools, it's like show them a picoscope. They're going to look at that and go, whoa, what is that? Like, that's a foreign object to me. Yeah, well, I have to, like, my technicians are trained to operate this, communicate this with a vehicle, and be able to interpret this data, right? Your average Joe who doesn't work on cars isn't going to be able to do that. I mean, we went from being mechanics to technicians. And the industry is constantly changing and evolving into that mass. And I really want to be on the forefront of that, obviously. And doing stuff like this, hopefully it's just getting kids more excited about becoming maybe a technician or a mechanic. You know, someone who knows how to work on mechanically inclined stuff, and people that know electronics. And we're in the era of digital. I think there's like going to be a huge group of kids coming up. They know way more about phone and technology than I will ever know. Their abilities to be able to work on these cars, there's really good opportunity to make a lot of good money in this industry, because I think the opportunity for them to know and understand electronics is going to be far more greater. And it's just diving more into it than just scrolling on your phone for hours, but really understanding how things work. And you made a good point. I think the schools are doing a lot better job pushing the trades, getting kids more like, hey, we need these trades, because we did push for a long time. You got to go to college. That's how I was raised. I was raised feeling like your one test was going to determine your life. I mean, I struggle with dyslexia. I do have ADHD. I took my ACT 3 times. The highest I ever scored was a 15. The biggest life-changing moment in my life is when I was, after the third time I took my ACT, I was standing with a group of what I thought were friends at the time. It's in high school, and they were going around telling each other score. And I don't know why, it was just destined. Like, the kid right before me had to say some smart remark, like, oh, a monkey could get a 16. And I'm sitting here, I took it 3 times, I could get a 15. And that really depleted me. And, you know, obviously I lied after that. I was, you know, 17 years old, and I was too ashamed of myself. And when you start doing that, that really tears down your character and personality a little bit, and you start becoming someone you're really not because you're lying about who you really are. And it took me a long time to say, hey, that test didn't define me. That piece of paper isn't going to determine what I do in life. And we got to get past that mindset. I think there's so many other careers and so many opportunities out there. And some of the most successful people in this world didn't even complete college or even complete high school. They just said, hey, I'm just going to go own this world and I'm going to just do what I do and be myself. And that's where, you know, the hardest thing is just being yourself every day, day in and day out. Find your passions, find what you're good at, and you just do it. And that was a lot with these books. My biggest fear is when I do a social media post that I get called out on my grammar mistakes or this or that. And I dread that. Even with this book, my wife found a typo on the first page after my first published. And I was like, oh, come on. You know, it's embarrassing, but you can't let those things stop you from doing what you're passionate for. And yeah, so I hope that kind of inspires some people just to, you get a cool idea, unique idea, you feel like it's going to work, just try it, because you won't know if it doesn't work until you try it.
This has been so enjoyable. And you just said the word inspiring, like you've dropped nuggets. I'm an interrupter. I'm trying to stop doing that. I think I've done a really good job today, but you have said so many things where I wanted to jump in and just agree, but you were just on this incredible role of sharing your story and things from your past and how you've gotten where you are today. And it truly is an incredible inspiration. I mean, to write a children's book, it's one thing to write a book that adults are going to read because we speak in our language, in our own language for adults, right? You know, like at a higher level. But to bring that down to a level to write for children in a way that helps their imagination, helps them to see that story in their mind is very different. And you did that twice and you're going to do it more. So I really appreciate your time today. There was a moment there where I was like, I wanted to jump in to tell our editor, this is the clip right here, but I didn't. And there ended up being 3 or 4 more. So you really brought some amazing stuff here. And I had other questions I wanted to talk to you about, but I just don't want to take up your whole day and all the time. But I really, 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 truly appreciate you being here and chatting and sharing. And I will say, y'all, he just dropped on me right before we hit record. There was a little miscommunication or confusion about when we were meeting. He at first thought it was for tomorrow and he was like, I can't do tomorrow. And so it's because they're having a baby tomorrow. And I was like, excuses, Ben. That's an excuse. But congratulations. Are y'all having a girl, a boy? Do you know?
It's going to be a boy. So this is my third kid in 3 years. So we're going to have 3 under 3 for about a month and a half. So I have 2 lovely daughters and my future NHL hockey player, right?
Put it out there. That's what you got to do. I love it. Well, congratulations. And I am looking forward to seeing pictures of this new precious little Tilson coming tomorrow. So one quick last word, tell everyone where they can find you, how they can connect with you, and how they can get a book if they want to.
Sure. Honestly, just friend me on Facebook, shoot me a message. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. You know, you can look up Tilson's Auto Repair on Facebook and Instagram as well, too. So just shoot us a message. And if you really want a book, I can find a way to get you a book. I can mail some books out. So don't be afraid to just reach out and say, hey, I want a couple copies, or, you know, say anything and I will take your advice, Kim. I'm definitely going to try to get my book more accessible to more people, because even people locally have asked me like, hey, how can I get your book? Because, you know, sometimes it's not always convenient to stop in quick, or, you know, people get busy with their lives and it's just easier to go online, select, click order and get a couple books that way. I get that. So that's definitely my next step. But yeah, Facebook, Instagram, you can call the shop. Back of my book here, 507-282-4924. And you can talk to me directly that way too.
Yeah. And he's easy to find on social media. And in the meantime, just take a quick PayPal or Venmo donation for shipping to cover that or whatever it might be. That's something simple and easy.
Yeah. I'll figure something out. I do have an Etsy store, but I'm still trying to figure out how to get that out there better. I don't know if Etsy was the right platform.
All right. Well, I'll connect you with Brian. Y'all can talk more about all of that.
That'd be great.
Thank you so much, Ben. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast on the Aftermarket Radio Network. There are some other great shows on the network, and you can find them all at aftermarketradionetwork.com or on your favorite podcast listening apps like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many others. I also want to throw out there that we would love for you to give our podcast a review, a thumbs up, leave us some positive comments. If you have any questions or any show topics that you would like to hear from us, email us at podcast@shopmarketingpros.com. And finally, coming up in October of this year, 2025, we are hosting our second Plan with the Pros at West Point. It's our son's last year there. And so we're taking advantage of that and hosting Plan with the Pros, where you can come and spend 2.5 days learning how to create your full 2026 marketing plan. Have a whole plan for the entire year. We're going to teach you how to do that. We're going to coach and mentor and train you while you do it. So you're going to come and learn and do it and leave with your full 2026 marketing plan ready to go. So visit planwiththepros.com for more information. We hope that you will tune in next week for another episode. Until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker. Follow the podcast on your favorite listening app. Find their emails in the show notes and visit them at shopmarketingpros.com. Let Kim and Brian know what you want discussed, because they're all about advancing the aftermarket.